We turn now to Georgia Kalis, who's vice president of the board of directors for the Michigan Guardianship Association. Georgia, your association represents how many professional guardians in Michigan?
Right now we have 149 professional guardians, which is down from 300 10 years ago.
Oh, that's so you're down a lot. Why is that?
Well, most people don't realize that professional guardians work for free for about half of their caseloads.
Give us a sense of what people do when they're our professional guardian.
So we have two types of clients, the vulnerable senior that lives out in the community. We get clients in from Adult Protective Services. Pretend that Mr. and Mrs. Jones lived in a community. Months go by and the neighbors start realizing they haven't seen Mr. Jones for a long time. They might call Adult Protective Services and a representative will go in and find out that Mr. Jones passed away and that Mrs. Jones, who has Alzheimer's disease, has been taking care of herself and the electricity's off and the food is rotten. And Adult Protective Services goes to the probate court and asks for a public guardian to be assigned because they couldn't find any family members or anybody else that would be willing to step up to do that.
And then, so vulnerable seniors, and what's the other group?
The mentally ill client who is on Social Security disability, and they come through the community mental health system. Typically, this client is much younger, bipolar, schizophrenic, not taking their medication, not wanting to live in a group home. When we get those clients, there is no funding whatsoever in the state of Michigan right now for a guardian to get paid to take care of the CMH client. For the vulnerable adult side, we get paid through Medicaid $83 per month to take care of someone's complete life.
When you heard that the Attorney General's office was putting together this task force, and they tell us that they have connected with your staff, they are still recruiting members for the task force, and it fully expects your group to be at the table. What are your hopes for this task force?
We're hoping, first and foremost, to provide education to legislators and to the Attorney General's office. MGA has had our third Capitol Day this March, and we've met with every single senator and House of Representatives to try to explain what the public guardian situation is in Michigan. And rather than the task force looking at guardians as being the enemy, we're hoping that we're going to be able to educate them to realize that we are the last safety net that this state has. I'm a member of the National Guardianship Association, and I'm a registered guardian through National. We don't have any sort of registration process in Michigan, and we'd love to, but it's really hard to ask the tiny population of people to get a license or to register when you're expecting them to work for free.
Some public guardians have, you know, hundreds of wards, 300 to 400 wards, we've heard. What is your reaction to people who worry that a guardian cannot possibly take the best care of so many people?
I think the number has to be in ratio to the staff. And I think that there are companies around the state that are getting larger and larger. And the reason for that is the smaller companies are going out of business. At Michigan Guardianship Association, we put on two conferences a year, and we're constantly recruiting for new guardians to come in. But again, with the expense of a public guardian, you have to have a very large liability insurance policy. We're expected to do everything for the clients, place them, make their medical decisions, run their Social Security, change their mail. We do absolutely everything that a family would do, and yet we're complete strangers to them when we first get them. And so I think that the numbers, so long as a company that's large has enough staff to do it, I don't think there should ever be a cap on the number that an individual can have.
When you say that public guardians get nothing for taking care of people who are mentally incapacitated, so that is all that work for zero, or does money come in through some other source?
It's worse than zero, to be honest with you. When I get the phone call from the court that I was appointed to be somebody's guardian, I don't know if it's going to be Mrs. Jones, the $83 client, or if it's going to be Kevin, the $0 client. But either way, I have to go down to court, pay $20 to park, go into the courthouse, and then I have to pay $12 to buy my letters of guardianship. So I'm $32 out before I even get in. And then from that point, I'm court required to see these clients, even if we don't get paid. I'm court required to take care of them and to make sure that all of their needs are met. And we don't pick and choose the clients that we get. And so what's happened is the professional guardians that are companies get upside down where they have more free clients than they have paying clients. It's a business model that can't be sustained. Guardianship companies are closing right now in the state of Michigan at a rate of 10 per year.
Where will this end?
The worst ending would be the Michigan Guardianship Association members decide that this is something that we just can't do anymore, and then the state of Michigan would have to come in and create a public guardianship system, which would be like an adult protective services. So all 83 counties in the state, the probate courts would have an office of a guardian, and then they would become a ward of the court, where right now they're a ward to whoever their guardian is. Then the state of Michigan would assume 100% of the responsibility for a state staff person to be making someone's medical decisions. It sets up for a giant liability should a state employee do the do not resuscitate order and the client passes away, and then years down the road, family come back and say, you didn't resuscitate my grandmother. I'm going to sue the state of Michigan, where now I have a professional liability for my medical decision making for me and my staff. So we are saving the state of Michigan hundreds of millions of dollars, but we can't get anybody to hear that they need to help save what they already have for free. And instead, we feel like now a task force is going to come to micromanage and, you know, cast a negative eye towards what we're doing. And they don't realize the manipulation, the exploitation, the neglect, that's how I get my client. And unfortunately, it's usually a family member or a neighbor that is the bad guardian. And Comerica Bank will call Adult Protective Services saying Mrs. Smith is being brought into the bank every day with the little girl that lives next door to her, and they're withdrawing $5,000 a day. And then Adult Protective Services goes into the court. Next thing you know, I'm the guardian, the public guardian, and then we have to go back behind it and realize, you know, $50,000 has been stolen. We account to the court for everything that's done. We try to go to prosecute, you know, the person who was exploiting. But I'm looking forward to educating the task force that the public guardian is the safety net. We're not the bad guy.
Georgia Kalis, Vice President of the Board of Directors for the Michigan Guardianship Association. Thank you so much for talking with us on Stateside, Georgia.
Thank you so much, Cindy. It was my